ready in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.
Meow, 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 meow. Guess what? I have a show in Phoenix. CB Live, September 23rd and 24th. Then on to Nashville at Zany's Comedy Club. And then Jew Dork Titties at Caroline's, Biloxi, Mississippi, Ben Salem, Pennsylvania. And then, gosh, don't even talk about next year. ChristinaPOnline.com for tickets. Listen, you fucking, listen, you know who's already the guest because you've read the title, but I love this human being so much. Danny
Brown.
I love
you too. Hell yeah. Thank you for having me. Hanging out with moms.
I love you. Can I tell you that what I love about you is you're so fucking talented.
Oh, thank you.
It hurts that
thank you.
your absolute ability, your skills. But you know what I love most about you is your depth. And I think that if I pay attention to your lyrics, which I do,
mm-hmm.
There's just worlds upon swirling worlds.
That's Adderall. So I can't take all the credit for myself.
Is that right?
Yeah. I used to literally sit there at 10 p.m. I'd take Adderall, and then I'd probably write to like 6 in the morning. And then, you know, you still fucked up off the Adderall. The next day, you all fucking on the come down. You're like, I don't feel good, so let me take another Adderall. And before you know it, you're like, I'm all zingy again. So then I'm like, let me go over the rap again instead of writing new ones.
Oh.
Let me see, can I make these even better? And then you're just in this never-ending loop.
And do you make it better? Or because you know
sometimes
you
can fuck it up, though.
That's what I mean. Like, because I started
by overthinking it.
That's right. Same with a joke or a paint. I started painting as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And there's such a thing as too much paint. And now the whole thing is ruined.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The same with music.
Yeah, I mean, I think with hooks, it should like come natural. Like that should be like the first thing you think of with a hook. Like if you overthink a hook, you might fuck up the song. But with like some lyrics, because it's a lot of times like Q-Tip, he gave me my best advice. What he's like, you got all the time in the world, you know, to fix it and do whatever you want to it before you put it out into the world. Because once you put it out in the world, you can't take it back. It's a wrap. So you might as well take as much time and put as much thought into it as you possibly can. Because I didn't used to give a fuck. I used to hear a beat, rap, be like, put the song out. It's done.
It's done.
Now, I think, because it is a pro and con to both of them. Because now I feel like, so now I take too long to make music.
Because you're thinking more.
I'm always just trying to do
make
posts
it better.
Going over. Yeah, you can't make a song perfect. It's always going to be somebody who's going to hate the song. So no matter what you're doing, it doesn't really matter.
But that is not the torture of being an artist. And I think with comedians, you know when the joke is done. Because if it's working and it's real, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
The audience gives you that bang, that laughter. You go, all right, that's a wrap. I have to say it this way. But the bang has to be internal, right? Where you're like, okay, I know.
See, that's the good thing I like about comedy, because like y'all can get it in real time. Like
yeah.
You can work on a bit, boom, and you go practice it and do some shit. With a song, you just sitting there by yourself
that's
listening
what I mean.
To it, and you guessing like, I think they might like it. I don't know. I hope they like it. And then it is what it is. I think if you have the thought like everybody gonna like this shit, you're gonna be disappointed. I think the best feeling is to be like, I don't know, is to be have that I don't know feeling, and just be like, I like it. So if you like it, that's cool.
That's the coolest.
That's the best way to look at it.
Now, I don't believe that it's all Adderall. There's no way.
No, I'm not saying that. I mean, I can rap. I'm not saying that. But as far as like, because even now, when I make music without, because I don't really take Adderall like that no more. And I've come across something. I might be like, hold up. You know, every now and then, let me see what's up. But for the most part, I'm not taking Adderall all the time to make music. So yeah, I just think it takes me longer now. That's the only thing. It's like a performance enhancement. That's all it is.
A performance enhancement. Well, because you have that great lyric in Grown Up, because these Adderall worked. You're saying you're running in circles. That's true. You were hyperactive.
No, I diagnosed myself with Adderall.
You did? Oh, okay.
I ain't started taking Adderall until I was like in my late 20s.
Okay, so but you were a hyperactive kid. Were you really running around and your mom?
Lord, I think definitely. Because I never was like a school person.
No.
Like, I'd be in school, I'd be writing raps and shit, or just, like, reading magazines and stuff like that. I never really was into, like, that. But I could do the work. I can get it done quicker.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, I wasn't dumb, but I wasn't the smartest motherfucker either. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think I applied myself right.
I wasn't the smartest motherfucker either. Yeah. That's how I feel. I'm not the dumbest, but I'm definitely not the smartest.
And then I caught pneumonia in the third grade.
Oh my God.
During us learning multiplication.
Oh,
and
no.
We were still, I think when I left, we was at the threes. When I came back, they was on the nines.
Oh, shit.
And then, you know, it was public school. She ain't walked me back. Like, Danny, let me guide you back. So I was fucked up in math ever since.
Done.
Fucking multiplication. So by the time I got to algebra and shit, it was a wrap. I was like, fuck this, I'm done. I quit.
100%. Tommy and I have the same problem. You miss out on those fundamentals and you're just screwed. Like, you change a school or you get sick or something, you're fucked. So let's talk about your background. So you're from Detroit, right? Mm-hmm. You're like born?
Yeah, born and raised. And Henry Ford Hospital, right across the street from Motown.
Okay. Well, I was born in Windsor, Ontario, right?
That's
across
not, yeah.
From Detroit.
So we used to tap into your TV channel. That's how I was able to see Kids in the Hall,
oh,
Mr. Bean,
yes,
like all that shit. Like Windsor, I got to give them credit for a lot of the comedy shit. I've seen
there
this.
You go.
Because even late night, they'll play stuff like, dang, what was the one chick? Monty Python and all that shit.
Oh, yeah, that stupid shit. Yeah. I watch a lot of that stupid. You know what's funny is that I'm not sure. I think Monty Python was one of those things that it was cool to watch, but I don't know that I ever LOL'd.
I was a kid, so I don't even know if I understood half the shit. Like,
I just
see somebody pull their pants down, I was trying to laugh. You know what I'm saying? It was like lowbrow comedy, I guess.
Yeah, the Kids in the Hall were formative.
But Kids in the Hall, I love that shit.
Guys.
I love that shit. And Mr. Bean. I give Mr. Bean some prop too.
He doesn't even talk and he makes comedy. You know how hard that is?
Yeah, and then he blew up and then he came and started making like American shit and they had cartoons for him and then that's when I was like, fuck Mr. Bean.
He sold out.
He sold out.
Punk.
I liked it when it was just a straight, you know, lo-fi comedy. I meant the lo-fi like camera angles and shit. It was like he was shooting it by himself.
That's true. I think right now too, lo-fi is in. People want lo-fi.
Yeah, because you can, because it's so easy to make shit so crispy now. It's like it feels cool for something to look like film.
Yeah.
You know, you want to take it back or to look like a VHS tape or something like that. Like, even now, when I'm recording my music, I want it to sound like it's coming from a tape.
Yeah.
More so than it sound like it's coming from a computer. Like, you know.
Yeah, because I think in this time of digital and everybody's online and everybody's, we're not close anymore. So maybe that makes you feel closer to people when it seems shittier. Like Danny Brown, like Danny Brown made this on his fucking iPhone. You know,
I think
like
it is
I feel
something.
Closer.
I think it is something like that. It's a little more, you feel personal. Like, it's like, you know, but I will say that it's a bunch of kids now that's like, you know, it's like I'm listening to vinyl and like wear old
vinyl.
90s clothes and stuff like that. You want to hate on them and shit, but like, damn, you're really cool though. You're kind of cool. If I was your age, I'd probably be like you. You know what I'm saying? So I do like these kids that are trying to be like, going back and listening to old music and stuff, because I probably
you have
be like
to,
that.
But you have to. That's where you know the history of it. So hold on. So who raised you?
My mom and my dad. He would be bouncing in and out. But yeah, I did have both parents in home.
You're very lucky. Cause
yeah, I know, because ain't nobody else in the hood. Ain't nobody else. Well, I would say it was a few. It was a couple dads in the crib. But yeah, my pops. He was one of those sleep on the couch dads.
Well, there's a hold on. That's a very interesting point. Because my dad was asleep on the couch.
He was there three nights a week and he slept on the couch.
Right.
So we didn't understand what was going on until we got grown.
Yeah.
You know. But then once we turned 18, he's like, I'm out of here. It was like a big deal. Like, yeah, I'm out of here. But yeah, that's cool. I'm glad he stuck around though. I mean, because it is a big deal to have a father figure.
It is a big deal. And I was just having this discussion with somebody. Like, does anybody get a great dad? It seems like I feel like it's such a rarity in the world when you get a dope ass dad.
I think LeVar Ball is a great dad.
LeVar Burton?
LeVar Ball.
Who's this?
Big baller brand. You know LeVar.
I thought you said LeVar Burton, the guy from Reading
Rainbow.
For real,
I think LeVar
Rainbow.
Ball is the best dad ever. This guy, you ever seen?
He looks like the best dad ever.
He started his own brand, Big Baller Brand. His sons, Lonzo and LaMelo, they both in the NBA.
Oh wow!
But they both had high. He started the brand. They had sneakers in high school.
Wow!
So they was the first kids to be like, you know, I'm gonna start y'all, get y'all on sneakers now before y'all blow up and Nike try to take y'all. But then when they got to the NBA, they're like, fuck these shoes, Dad, they hurt. These motherfuckers falling apart. We want to go to Nike anyway. But they signed deals. I bought the Big Baller Brand shoes too.
You did? And did you, were they cool or did you get?
I loved them because you could tell it was a family business because somebody sent me another pair by mistake. And they $500 a pop. They was $500 a pop at the time. So I was like, shit, I got a free pair of Big Baller Brands.
Well, you didn't return them?
No.
Of course not.
Those right there, the ones, the green knitted with the pink sole right there. Yeah, those are like $500 when they came up. But I thought it was so cool that a kid in high school has his own sneaker.
Of course.
That you can buy. His dad did that for him, like teaching him. You know,
how to hustle.
Yeah,
could you imagine, though, having a parent even that involved?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and he gives them so much confidence. He says crazy shit. Like, my kid's better than Michael Jordan. Steph Curry ain't got no my kids. Yeah. They stopped letting them come on shows and do interviews and shit. They banned them.
Really?
Yeah, because it was pretty funny.
Wait, why did they stop?
He kind of hit on the host, but without hitting on her, kind of. Like, just saying some slick shit. And then they took it as like, you know.
So was your mother involved? Like, what did she think of you becoming a rapper?
And no, thing they did, they did always whatever like talent or whatever thing we wanted to do, they always definitely encouraged that. I wouldn't have probably ever made it if I didn't have parents that was that encouraging. But my dad was into music too, so he always like had like music equipment around the house and shit, and always like had cool albums and stuff. And then once he really said that I was super into music, he bought me my first Wu-Tang CD. I didn't know what Wu-Tang was. But I was listening to like a lot of gangster rap and shit at the time. So I think he's seen, you know, that shit is influential no matter what anybody want to say. And I mean, not like Wu-Tang was that much of better role models.
Yeah.
But at least they was, you know.
Well, they're talented as shit. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but it was a different style of music too, and it taught me a lot. So, but I remember, you know, he bought me the CD or whatever. And that was when CDs weren't really, ain't nobody really had CD Walkmans and shit.
Yeah.
So he got me a CD Walkman. I only had one CD, so I had Wu-Tang. And I listened to the fuck. I mean, the first time I heard it, I just knew it was something.
Which one? Which
Enter the Wu-Tang, the very first one.
Yeah. Isn't that funny how you get, like, my first tape that I got was Beastie Boys' License to Ill?
See, that was so cool. My first tape was fucking Kid and Play. So that lets you know. It lets you know where I was at in life.
What was their big song? They do a stupid dance.
That was
so cool, though.
I thought it was tight. I mean, as a kid, you don't know. You just see it. Aesthetically, it looked it cool on
pajama,
TV.
The pajama jammy jam.
Yeah, they had the house party movies. I saw all of them in theater. I would make my dad take me. Yeah. I was a huge Kid and Play fan. Then they had Class Act. Kid and Play, they had their own cartoon, too.
Yeah.
They did great.
They crushed. Beastie Boys, I will say,
when you go back and listen to it, one thing they were doing cool, they were like incorporating DC Go-Go into their music, and not too many rap music, you know, has really done that, you know. So that was cool.
So Kid and Play is your
lyrically,
first.
Lyrically, I wouldn't say it made me who I am today. You know what I'm saying?
So your mom. So do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I got two brothers, two sisters.
Oh my gosh! So where are you in the lineup?
I'm the oldest, but my mom had took in another one because her parents got killed.
She was
the babysitter. She was the babysitter, then her parents got killed. So she knew us as her family, but then the other family took her. Then once she became a teenager, she's like, fuck that, I want to go back with y'all. She came back with us. So.
Good. That is wild. So you're the eldest of...
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I'm not the best. I'm not the best older brother in the world. I mean, because we came at stair steps. So it was me, then the next one, the next, every year, right after the other. So like I said, my dad started at 16. By the time he was 21, he had four kids.
Jesus. Can you even imagine that?
No, you're retarded.
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with you?
16? Like, you don't even, you know nothing.
You know nothing. So imagine raising kids. They wonder why I'm fucking retarded. I had no, like, real, but I will say I had great grandparents, and that's one thing, you know.
That's huge.
That's who really raised you in that sense, you know.
Yes. And what you know, people tell me, they ask me all the time, like, well, I had kids so old. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, they're like, is that the way to go? I go, I don't know. Honestly, biologically, it might be better to have them super young, 18 or whatever, and then you have the help of the grandparents, the great-grandparents,
and such, and then
you get a little more freedom.
Yes, but take a village.
Take the stupid village.
Take a village.
So you grow up, and then when do you become a rapper? Like, when does it
happen? That shit took forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I was rapping, like I said, my very first rap in kindergarten class, doing show and tell.
Do you remember it?
Yeah, it was like some dumb, like, my name is D and the place to be. I rock the mic so effortlessly. You know, it was late 80s back then, so everybody rapped like that.
Yeah.
So it was some shit like that. So when I rapped there, all the kids that went crazy in the class, and the teacher was like, oh, that was tight. You know, so I just said to myself, yo, I'm going to be a rapper at that time. So I would always tell my cousin I could rap, and then I'd rap for him. He'd be like, shut up. You know, but then one time I remember, I guess, you know, I just kept it going. I rapped for him, and I could just see the look on his face change. He was like, you didn't make that. You didn't write that. Like, no, I didn't. So then I knew I had some shit.
You knew you were.
So then I just kept it going. So that was like a cool thing I would have. Like, no matter what school I go to, I wouldn't tell people I know how to rap or I wouldn't do nothing. But it, eventually one day it would come up and then I'd rap and then I'd be the coolest kid in class after that.
I love that.
Because it was always like, how the fuck you do it? Because I was always like, what? Even to the point, like, I would walk home from school and like all the drug dealers on every corner would stop me and like give me $5 or give me $10 or something to say a rap. Yeah.
So see, what's like interesting, so I was talking about this on the last episode. A lot of people listening to this podcast or moms at home are like, how do I know what I'm good at? How do I know what I'm good at? Mm-hmm. And I think it takes a lot of failure to know, like, what I definitely know I'm not good at math. We know this. Yeah, that's not on the
me
list.
And you both is a rap.
But well, you said that you go in kindergarten, I said a rap. And it got me some good validation. Mm-hmm. And then you rap for your cousins. And they were like, are you really doing that? Like, so there is some element of, like, beginner's luck, so to speak, of like you have this innate ability. So like that's really important, is you take note of, oh shit, that comes easy for me and I'm obsessive and I like to do this. Like I imagine your brain, because you spin. I'm the same way. I'm very spinny. Like there's always a song or a fucking joke or whatever, a thought that I'm like OCDing on.
Exactly.
So if you realize, like, oh, that's a strength, that's your superpower, the thing that you think is the most embarrassing or that someone else won't like about you might be your super talent.
That's so true, right? That is so true.
I'm sure your friends or your family were like, shut the fuck up, Danny, stop rapping, or what are you talking about?
I mean, but then it's like I got shy about it.
Yeah,
you know, it's like I mean, because I wanted, because I didn't, because I felt like I was good at it, especially when I got to the point of like learning how to write it and you know, like keeping raps to myself, like having notebooks and stuff like that. Like I wouldn't say raps to people because it would hurt my feelings so much if you told me I suck.
Yes.
So yeah, I guess I had to put my 10,000 hours in.
That's where you know you read that book. See, that's the best one.
So like sometimes I'm like, maybe I'm really not that good at rap. I just put my 10,000 hours.
I talked about that. That's what's his name? Outliers. The name Malcolm Gladwell, the book Outliers. He talks about how the Beatles practice, was it in Birmingham, in a shitty bar, and they just did cover songs, and then they practiced for 10,000 hours in this shitty bar. It was in Germany, maybe. Anyway, they came out of it much more, whatever, adept at their skill. So yeah, it does take that long of a time. And you said you were protective of your craft. I talked about this last week.
Yeah.
It's so important when you're in that baby state, that gentle embryonic.
Because you know you kind of suck. Like, that's what it is, too. It's like, I know, because I can listen to rap music. I listen to what the professionals do, and I'm like, I know I'm not on that level, but one day I hope to be, you know? So you just want to work as hard as you can. But what will give you validation in that, when you know you're just better than everybody around you, though?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I will hear other people rap. I'll be like, man, shut up, man. You can't. It's nowhere close. Until I got to high school, that's when it got crazy.
And what happened?
Because everybody, it was more rappers now. Right. And there was other good rappers then. And it was like, I wasn't the only good rapper then. But I made it through.
Did you like battle with them?
Yeah, we used to battle all the time. I used to battle.
That's awesome.
It was one of the best rappers. And actually, he became like a super popular rapper in the city right after high school. His name was Tuff Tone. He actually became like a saying in Detroit. When somebody trying to get too crazy, like, oh, you think you Tuff Tone? So, he's like a legend. And me and him used to battle all the fucking time. Like, we couldn't even see each other and not say some raps at each other.
It was almost Tuff Tone.
Yeah, it was too crazy. I will say he did push me, because he was whooping my ass a lot. Because I was saying back then, I liked the Nas. Nas is my favorite rapper. I just had, you know, brushing my hair, trying to get waves all day, trying to be like a pretty boy. And he was more on like some DMX shit. He was like the wild, like, roar, bark in your face type shit on some gangster shit.
Yeah,
talking about your mama and shit. You
DMX
can't beat a rap.
Did the theme song to this.
I know. It
cost $500,000. Money well spent before he passed.
It's the best theme song.
Rest in peace, yeah. So Tuff Tone, is he still around?
Yeah, I actually be seeing him on Instagram every now and then.
You guys keep in touch? Or
I mean, I say what's up to him a few times, but you know.
Isn't that interesting? It's similar in comedy where if you hang out with shitty comics, you're going to get shittier. If you hang out with the best, you're going to rise to whatever those guys are doing. So you always want to kick it with the best or someone that's going to challenge you and get you, you know. And it's funny because I just saw this great post on Instagram that's like, you know, when like your haters, like they're basically nobody at a high level is hating on anybody beneath them.
This is true.
You know what I mean?
This
like
is true.
even once you reach a level, you don't really hate on your peers that have made it, because you guys are all eagles. You fucking made it.
Yeah.
Like, you're a fucking rapper.
Yeah.
Like, isn't it bananas that you're just like, you're this kid from this normal family and now look, you're a rapper. It's just crazy.
That's the hardest part for me was accepting it. I think that was like one of my biggest downfalls because I was always scared that it'll go away any day.
Shame.
Instead of me just enjoying, like, actually making it, like, the whole 10 years that I've done being a rapper, my whole shit was like, I'm going to make this album come out. They're going to hate it. It's going to rap for me. Instead of just actually enjoying the moment and doing that shit. So now I try to, now that I recognize that I do that.
Yeah.
Because, but I would say that was the big one, a big hindrance to me, too.
Me, too. I it's funny because I did Whitney Cummings' podcast, and she's like, Christina, you're very successful. She's like, you're like a mega winner. And I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm going to go home and I'm going to wipe some kids' asses.
Yeah,
tonight.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't feel like that.
I don't feel like that.
I don't feel like that, man. But I'm pretty sure, you know, a lot of people, because a lot of people say, like, Danny, you a legend and shit like that. I'm like, man.
You are, Danny.
But I'm talking about, like, you music. Are. Like, when it comes to music, like, it's a lot of accolades you have to fucking reach to be like a legend in music. I can be like a cult figure, you know what I'm saying, type shit. I'd rather take that, you know. But then it's even it's like even if I spark something new, like that's what somebody else told me too. Like, it's all about the person that, the ones that could spark the idea that creates some new shit and it can change like the genre and some shit, and they only really care about and don't cry about getting the props about it and just fall back and let the music. That's the guy that you
that's
know.
That's the guy.
That's the guy.
Because the props are so stupid.
Everybody wants validation. Rap music is so competitive. Everybody wants validation. Then there's so much journalism around it. Like, they always got some best of 50 list, the best of this. So they always putting you in a competitive box with the shit. You know?
I know, but it's also manufactured. It's like, yeah, but that's so-and-so's publicist knows this guy, and he paid to get the cover,
But the regular people don't understand that shit. So they always just look at it like, oh, like, man, it's the game is built against you. It's hard just to even get. That's why I don't complain about nothing, to be honest. I'm like, shit, with what I've done.
It's a miracle.
God damn it, I signed a $5,000 signing bonus. That, you know what I'm saying? Like, what? I spent that shit in 1 weekend. So for me to be here from that contract, my first record contract was $5,000. So for me to be doing what I'm doing 10 years later, I'm a bad motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
It's so interesting. So what about you? Like, I always wonder what it is about people that take that leap of faith. Like, what about you?
Oh, well, maybe take the $5,000 at that time?
No. But I'm saying, like, you could have gone. What's the difference between the person that goes, for instance, yeah, I want to be a rapper. I'd love to be a rapper, a comedian, a musician, a painter, a flower maker, a flower arranger, whatever the hell. I want to do that, but I'd rather just work this safe job and stay here because I have benefits and I have this. And then, but what's the difference between that person and the person that goes, yeah, I want to be a rapper, a flower arranger, da da da. Fuck it, I'm gonna go do it. See, so what is that?
Subconsciously, I just was fucking my life up. So I was putting myself in a box where I wasn't gonna have no choice but to do the shit. Like, once I started selling drugs and shit, not really to myself, I was like, shit, I'm gonna have some shit to rap about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I never sold drugs, but I did work at the Girl Scouts.
Like, I'm asking, this gonna make for some good rap songs. So you know, I was not good at selling drugs. I would say it just was kind of fun to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm silly, like I'm goofy. So if you can, I mean, you can.
You really are. I love it.
So, and I was way worse, if I think back. I mean, as far as like immaturity, like the type of joke that I'd probably be making, like fucking with crackheads and doing shit. Like, we would do crazy shit to them, like make them get in the closet, like sit in the closet, you know? Like, do some shit like that. Like, baby, like, you come in the crib, like, we got a crackhead in the closet. Like, you lying. Get out the closet, nigga. The crackhead jump out. Like, we do shit like that. Like, make no sense. So I think during that period of my life, it was fun. But you know, I caught fucking drug cases and shit, and going and I had mad probations, and then I was just violating probation. Then I went to jail.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. And that was like one of the greatest episodes of your mom's house. Was talking about your time because you enjoyed jail and you said you had fun.
I think he wants to go back.
Anybody.
Oh, I watched the fucking all the prison documentaries and TV shows. I got them all saved because it makes me never go back. I go to sleep to them bitches. My girl be mad. Like, can we not watch this jail shit? I be like, man, it keeps me grounded. This is what keeps me humble.
Well, you know, I had a conversation with Dr. Phil, and he's like, you do not want to get into the legal system.
Oh, never.
He's like, you do not want to start that trend of, like, you don't want them fucking knowing, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to get into probation or anything, because it's just such a hard thing.
I've never gotten any trouble once I got out, like, not
you were
even
done.
An ounce. Like, I mean.
Oh, you're probably young and shit. Like,
yeah. No, when I went to jail, I was 27,
That's
28.
Young still.
But then once I got out, that's when I hit the ground running.
You were like,
fuck that shit.
Because you'd sabotaged yourself. Yes, you were like, yes. So I know.
I would take these Greyhound trips to New York, like one-way Greyhound trips. Got to figure out how I'm going to get back.
I love
sleeping
it.
On studio floors, rapping in anybody's studio I could rap in, doing whatever I could do. And I would go out there for literally like a weekend and like make a whole mixtape, come back home.
And, I
then
love I, it.
And after a while, then the internet started becoming a thing. So after a while, all this music started being online. And before I know it, like blogs start talking about me. People start talking. Once then, I just kept it going. Like,
that's how you do it.
Yeah. So by the time I was 30, everybody wanted to give me a record deal. So
love it.
But I see, that's the thing. I always talk shit about me signing. I wanted to go to that label though.
Of course.
Because they was the coolest shit. I didn't want to be with like a major or like, because I was scared to go with a major because I thought I wouldn't be able to make a hit song.
Well, that's the pressure, isn't it? And then they dump you when you don't.
And then you owe money.
Yeah. Yeah. What a racket. I mean,
yes, a lot of people don't know it costs to be a rapper. Like, if you get a signing bonus and an advance for an album, you don't make the money back. You owe that money back still. So let's just say if you like decide, I don't want to be a rapper one day and get a regular job, they'll start garnishing your checks and all type of shit.
Isn't that crazy?
And I just wanted to do my time. I just wanted to live my dream. And now I'm in debt.
I know.
That's like child support. Now you got to tell me Def Jam Records taking niggas' checks out here that's working construction.
I mean, because that's the thing too. You learn, like Tom and I self-published some comedy albums early on in our career. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, this cost like $3,000 to make, maybe? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? That it costs like hundreds of thousands of times. It's a recording studio time, $300 for Danny to go in the studio, the mixer, the guy, like, get the fuck out of here. It's such a racket. It's all a racket. But what's interesting, and I love this, and I think there's an element of like, you had nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And I had done something similarly where I dropped out of law school. I dropped out of grad school. I'd gotten fired or quit 22 jobs in 4 years. Like, I was a fucking loser. I had fucked up everything in my life to the point where I was like, I guess I have to be a comedian.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
I got nothing to lose.
And I guess I did go to comedian route too, because I used to go to every open mic in the city.
And that's
any
why you're so special.
Any open mic I wanted to go rap at, anybody that was doing some rap shit. Because I was getting to the point I was getting too old. So everybody was looking at me. So you got to remember all the drug dealers, they used to give me the dollar walking home from school and shit. They like, Danny, I don't know, man. You might just want to get a job now.
They're like, you failed as a drug
like,
dealer.
Like, you ain't make it now. You ain't make it by now. But and that's the crazy part. When I was doing that little drug dealer phase, like all those guys used to tell me, like, man, you fucking your life up. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
but back then Detroit, it was no outlet to become a rapper.
Yeah,
it was
how
no
the fuck
fucking,
were you?
It wasn't like I can now. It's like the internet; you can just post a song and you can blow up. No, you had to get in touch with some record label. You had to figure it out. So you had to go to New York or you had to go to L.A. It was not going to happen if you didn't, because they weren't coming to your ass.
They're not coming to Detroit.
Definitely
no. So. And they had to discover you. So yes. I mean, that was the horrible part of the show business of the industry before the internet,
it was
is
horrible.
That you had to wait for one of these suit type people, like business people who don't understand art or music or comedy, for them to go, hey, I think that person's funny or that person's talented, and then convince their boss to convince the rest of the organization.
Yes, that's the crazy
and
part.
It's like, dude, these people are not creative. And you have business people with like master's degrees and shit making like creative. It's just a horrible, horrible. So now the great equalizer is the internet and they can go fuck themselves. Yeah. And we're the gatekeepers of our own stuff now, which is lovely.
They figuring out more and more how to.
I know. Those
figuring
bastards.
Out more and more, because you don't make shit from Spotify. You don't make shit from streaming.
No.
So at the end of the day, if you're not selling like a shit ton of records, which is no one is really selling
Nobody.
A shit ton of records, it's all streaming. So most of us making money off shows now.
Touring.
Pretty much. And merch, and which is why every fucking artist have like a clothing brand now, which is like.
It's smart.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
Can I tell you, I even bought Danny Brown stickers off of Etsy. I don't know if official Danny Brown stickers.
I actually just seen one of my t-shirts on Grill for $100. I was like, shit, I should buy this bitch back. This would be fire right here. I should buy this bitch back. But hopefully somebody bought it. Been sitting on there for a minute, man. But maybe since I said something, y'all know.
Yeah. So you're 30 plus and now you're a rapper. You get
now
your first,
I'm 41.
Shut the front door.
Right now?
No. I'm saying like you're 30 something.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, so this is the thing too. This is another thing people don't get. And a lot of people who are just now discovering like me or Tom or whatever. And you're like, yeah, these overnight successes, like
that don't exist.
I've been a comedian for 20 years.
That don't exist.
Literally 20 years. And I didn't make it until I was like 38 or closer to really, like 38, like after I had my first kid. So it takes forever. It took a decade to make money.
I mean, because even like you, right? Because even like me with the first situation, I don't think I probably was getting money to around like 34, 36.
Yeah, you're broke as shit and all your friends have mortgages.
I was just still figuring it out. I was still figuring it out, you know, because in the beginning, I would play a shit ton of shows for not really that much money.
Yes.
And I was destroying my body, like just doing so much. I'd get home and be like, damn, that's all I made. And then you spend it on the road as you go. So then eventually, you know, I had to figure it out. I had to figure it out.
Yeah,
I guess just at the end of the day, man, it's just all about like honing in on my craft and like trying to make the best possible album that I can make. And I did that, but it cost me a fucking shit ton of money. But see, with me, that's what gets expensive with me with recording albums is the fucking samples.
Yeah, because you have to license them, right?
You gotta clear all the shit. And like that, I had, I think, a 100,000 album budget, and I spent $70,000 on samples.
Easy. That shit's so expensive to license.
And
music.
Every day I went over because I think the actual mixing and mastering was like $50,000.
So
it was like, yeah, it was a wrap.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But another.
And then the album didn't sell.
It did.
So I can't get a real job, but they gonna take my checks.
God damn it! You can't get a real job now. No,
it's fucked up. I thought about it. One day I was at the FedEx and they was like hiring. I was like, man, this shit don't really look too hard. They just standing back there with boxes and shit. I'm like, man, I could do this shit. Just hang back there. I ain't got shit else to do at the crib. I'm like, well, I'm getting to that point. I'm getting old like that where I just want a job to socialize with other people and regular people too.
I know. That's why it's kind of nice that you have a podcast, I imagine, here.
No,
that's
the greatest
Jeans.
Thing I would say. It's like my therapy now. It gives me a chance. I could just talk about shit. Because I don't got no friends.
My
friends are back home in Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, so, I can hang around with, you know, comedy guys and shit. But then, you know, that's just snapping on each other all day and talking shit.
That's all we do is talk shit.
That's all you do is talk shit. You got to watch what you do around these motherfuckers. You being a bitch. You give it up, so you can't even really be yourself around them. You can't even tell them how you feel sometimes. So that's
Fuck
hard.
No.
It's hard hanging with comedians.
We should tell. I mean, even Tom and I are like, we're comedians together. Like, we have to literally snap into just being real
normal
people.
Because otherwise,
it could turn into fucking Shecky Green's house. You know, it's bad. You got to connect. Yeah, I hear you. That's tough. But you're a deep guy. I feel like I think you're a deep dude. There's a lot going on in that head.
I'd be a good kid. It's like it's a balance. You know, everybody can have a balance. Cause I've had like a good streak where I'm doing good. I'm eating vegetables. I'm drinking my water.
Sure.
I'm drinking my water. I'm cuddling my girl at night.
Yeah.
And then one day I just have one drink and it all goes out the window and I'm wilding for like a month straight. And then I come back, then when my body's all fucked up, and I'm like, I'm too old to be doing this shit after I burnt every bridge I'd have made in the past month.
What prompts you? So what's the trigger for that?
Like, I just like to have fun. That's really all it is. I swear to God, I just like to have fun. It's just a fucked up way of having fun. That's why I do, when I do like to, you know, party and do shit, I don't go out no more. I just do it in the comfort of
smart.
My own home.
Yeah, smart.
You know?
You can't get arrested in your own home. Really?
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Lot.
That's why I don't like hanging out. That's why it is. I get it. That's why I don't have friends, because I'm not a person that needs to be out having friends and doing
shit.
Because I might get you in trouble.
Yeah. Are you an alone guy? You hang out
definitely.
Alone?
Yeah. Definitely.
But you do prefer that to being.
I can't do it.
Can't do what?
Like, being you
social?
Know how people like because I always grew up in a house with a lot of people.
Oh,
I feel like.
Sure.
Because I got a friend and he's like, man, I can't live by myself. I cannot live by myself. I always got to have somebody living with me. I could live by myself. I don't give a fuck about nobody else. I could be, no matter what it is, I could be one bed and a TV or a fucking huge ass mansion. It don't matter. I don't need nobody in that motherfucker.
Interesting.
I swear to God.
I see that about you because there's you're very connected to your soul. There's somebody there, you know what I mean? I look at you when we're watching your videos, mm-hmm. even I'm like, oh man, this guy is like, he's just in there. Like, you're just, you're so in it. You're so in yourself. Does that make sense?
I get what you, but I think that comes from spending so much time alone.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much goddamn, I ain't got no choice but to meditate all goddamn day. Ain't nobody with me. But now, like, I'm, you know, like me and my girl, we hang out when we do shit, you know, so I got her.
Yeah.
For the most part, and we got the dogs. Like, having a new
dogs
puppy,
are the best.
Having a new puppy was one of the best. I mean, as much shit as I talked Because it's wild as fuck in the beginning. It is something that's really, because it adds another level of discipline in the household.
Yeah.
Because you got to watch out for this motherfucker. It's crazy.
Yes, you do. Especially the puppy. They are peeing in the middle of the night. They tear your shit up. Look, it's not dissimilar to having a newborn.
This year, that's what I've realized. Even though I know a baby is a bigger deal, but this motherfucker, like, anytime you open a window, a motherfucker might just jump out it. Like, I never seen an animal like this in my life. Like, any door open, it's running out. So you always got to, like, hold up, where this motherfucker at? Let me figure out what you're doing. Like,
but isn't it interesting? I was thinking about this on the way here, that, like, motherhood, because you have children too, right?
I have a 21-year-old.
So you started young as fuck too.
I mean, I was 20.
So you grew up. Yeah, we grew up together. But there's something
like,
really...
like friends. That's the fucked up part. I don't think she look at me like, I'm not like a father figure to her.
Yeah. Yeah, because you were so young when you had... It's a girl, you said, your daughter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I was thinking today, like, how the discipline of taking care of another being, even if it's a dog, a puppy... Because I've seen... I have a friend, too. He was an alone guy. Mm-hmm. And he just got a puppy, and his whole world... has changed for the better. Like, he's like, yeah, I took her, we walked around the lake today, and I'm gonna take her to the puppy play date and shit like that. And you're like, it's suffering. I mean, there's some suffering attached to taking care of children and dog. It's like this horrible thing, but that horrible thing gives you so many layers of meaning and purpose. And I woke up at 6:30, take the kids to school.
I just never want responsibility.
No one does. Like, who the fuck does?
I don't want no responsibility.
No, I don't either. It's terrible.
Just like even now, like me watching like my girl going to Mexico, and I'm sitting here with the dog now, and he's sick as fuck. Like, he's shitting all over the house.
Oh, it's the worst.
I gave him Taco Bell though.
Why did you do that?
Because he wasn't eating his food.
Taco Bell makes you shit.
I know. I was fucked up too. We was both fucked up the next day. So I was like, man, at least we laying on the couch together. We bonding. You know what I'm saying?
Which entree did you give him?
I mean, no, it was just like a taco. And I didn't give him, like, they say, they try to make it seem like I gave a nigga a burrito supreme or something. It was just like I scooped like a little piece of taco meat out on the floor of the taco.
Oh,
like,
that's
doing
enough.
It like that.
Yeah.
Like, good.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much like a whole taco worth.
Damn, and that meat's not good. Now, would you say, since you've been to jail, that jail meat tastes equivalent to Taco Bell meat? Because they say that Taco Bell meat is the same.
No, they got this one Sloppy Joe in jail. And every the Sloppy Joe in jail is perfectly, it's perfect circles of meat. Like, and,
yeah?
And no one is bigger than the other. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like pebbles.
Yes.
It look like dog food. Like, real, like, who manufactured this? Like, I know hamburgers all different shapes and sizes. And, you know, ground beef, it's supposed to be, like, loose, you know?
Yeah.
This shit is, like, it's, like, one perfect circle, almost I don't know, man. But I was eating that shit, though. I ain't gonna lie.
But that's what I'm saying. So which meat is worse, Taco Bell meat or jail meat? Because I've heard that Taco Bell meat is equivalent to jail meat.
Taco Bell meat, you're still gonna be able to get a boner.
A boner?
Yeah.
We couldn't get a boner?
Because they put saltpeter in your food in jail.
Wait, put what?
Saltpeter.
What's that?
To make you not get a boner.
Shut the front door.
Yeah, because if every nigga walking around hard-legged in this motherfucker, we're going to be fighting, biting each other.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so yeah.
How do you know that? Because you worked in the kitchen, right?
I mean, it's a known thing kind of in jail. Well, you be like, man, because you'll start, once you get in there, you got to think. You'll be like, man, I've been in this bitch 3 months. I've been waking up. My dick ain't been getting hard. My shit supposed to be raging right now. Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
It is. It's a soft Peter. So,
soft
yeah, they do
Peter.
Shit to, like, fuck with your fucking testosterone and shit.
They should, because, yeah, you're right. It's a group of guys who aren't getting laid.
And they just in there angry,
yeah.
Going through shit like, what the fuck? It might just be a county jail thing.
A county jail thing?
Yeah, it might just
soft
be
soft Peter.
It might just be a county jail thing.
Jesus Christ.
Look, soft
Peter. Oh, Eric Garrett. It's a disgusting green drink you get in jail. That's what they say.
No, see, this is like a powder they just put in your food.
Fuck.
See, that's an old school term. I'm in a new jail. I was in
a new school
2000
jail.
That's what that is. That sounds like some old school shit. But yeah, the soft Peter.
You're still eating Taco Bell. The only reason why
I got Taco Bell, because I was just really, it wasn't necessarily about the food. I was just really fiending for a Baja Blast.
Yeah.
I know I'm supposed to be drinking sodas and shit, but I'm like, man, me and the dog, we just hanging out. We by ourselves. It's better than me getting some liquor right now. So
that's
let me
true.
Get a Baja Blast.
Yeah. See, I'm hooked on McDonald's chocolate milkshakes. But
really?
Every fucking time I go,
just can't get
the broken. The machine is broken.
They said that was like a thing that they do. That it's a reason why they do that. Like, I don't.
No reason to lose money to piss me off to be upset. That's terrible.
I forgot. I seen a whole like. Don't get me started.
To create.
Yeah. What
need.
Is the lure behind that?
It's like to create. What is the demand? Lure? It's such bullshit. It's always fucking broken. I mean.
Oh yeah, you could check. This is you could check the map to where they're telling you where the ice cream machines is up at.
No way. Do you think this works?
Yes, this definitely works.
Yeah, I do.
This was created by somebody with a lot of time on their hands and that was smart. So this ain't got nothing to do with McDonald's. This their own not shit. That, yeah. They got them for bathrooms too.
Really?
Yeah, if you're in the area, they'll be like, man, they got like bathroom reviews for like if you want to go shit at like gas stations and shit, they'll be like, man, this one fuck. And you'll be like having mad niggas, you can read the comments on like a Yelp for shitting. I love that shit, man. When I be on tour, I'd just be riding on the bus just reading comments like, man, it's one bathroom, so they cool. We should stop there.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You talk about the isolation. Like, I too can be alone for days and days and days in a room. And then, like, they just bring you out. You tell jokes. You go back in the room. You know, it's
But see, that's
weird.
The difference with me. I can't be alone in a hotel room.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just triggering.
It's
like,
isolating.
Man, I'm supposed to be in here with a bitch. I'm used to being here with bitches. I've done so much bad shit in hotel rooms. Now that if I'm in a hotel room by myself, it's like I'm going crazy.
Because you're
so like
bad things. Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. It's like ghosts. It's like the ghost of Christmas past coming to me like, ooh, daddy, the bitches. And saying shit to me. And I'll be like, damn, man, I got to get out of here. So now when I'm on the road, if I ain't got my girl with me, I'm never in my hotel room. Yeah. I'm always finding. So that's a good thing too, because I never used to do that. I never would like experience the different shit to do in other cities.
I never
and shit.
Do.
I was like, fuck y'all, man. I'm just hanging out. What a dope, what a house. Yeah. I'm going to sit in my room. I'm going to do the show. I'm going to go to the airport. That's it. I ain't hanging out with y'all niggas. I don't even care. They be like, oh, you should go get this food. Go get this food. No, man.
I never do. I just order room service or Postmates or something.
That's
some
what it
shit.
Is. I order
I'm
room
so
service.
Alone.
Or I eat at the bar at the hotel and shit like that. But now I've
you do
been getting
stuff.
Out to this. And it's been fun.
You're smart. I should do that.
It's been fun. I swear. And it's, because you know I've been trying to get in shape out here and stuff, and that'll be a hard thing too.
You have.
When you've been on the road, you just stay in your room eating bullshit, and then you're on the road, you're eating what you want to eat. So going around the city doing shit like that is kind of like having another workout, because I ain't about to walk around no fucking Austin, Texas.
No, it's too hot. So, but there's so funny because it's like I think there's this element too of like artists that you kind of have to be okay with being lonely or accepting your own brain. Like you have to really be at home in the craziness of your mind and not reject it is when I'm like, the longer I do this.
Especially, I feel like the more like when I felt like I was like getting like famous, like I couldn't go nowhere. Like anywhere I go, somebody would fuck with me. Like it really got to the point then I was just really, I was paranoid, I think. Cause I'm always scared like, somebody gonna rob me or somebody gonna like, I was always scared of like being somewhere I just feel somebody punch me in the face and I just hear world star. And I'm like, God damn it. I'm living in Detroit. I was like, these motherfuckers gonna try to get clout off me. I know what's going on. So I got to the point like, I ain't going outside. I ain't going nowhere. I just make people go do shit for me and shit like that. And I would just hang at my house or my studio. And that's it.
Yeah.
So to be honest, I've been living this fucking sheltered in a house ass life for the past fucking, since I've been fucking a rapper, you know?
Yeah.
Which hasn't been fun. I mean, coming out here has been great, I will say, because I feel safe out here.
Yeah, me too.
Like people, and then when people do, like, notice me, it's like real coming from a loving place. Like back home, it wasn't kind of like that.
No, I imagine Detroit, they're a lot rougher with you,
I mean, they kind of mean.
They talk some shit.
They got, no, their whole vibe is like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like you made it out, like you famous, like, so fuck them. I'm getting money too.
What a horrible vibe.
Like you would go to a bar or something and be like, you know, try to tell, like, man, you know. And like bartenders out there, they're like, fuck y'all, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, you know, out here, you will get special treatment out here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll show you some love out here.
Yeah.
I don't get that. Which I'm not complaining about, because that way, I don't think Detroit should ever be a place like that. That's what make us who we are when we, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I don't like that. And that's a lot of trouble. I mean, I'm pretty sure it probably changed now, though.
It's changed. Hasn't Detroit gotten so different in the last 15 years?
Yes, because a lot of white people moved in.
Yeah,
here,
so the whites,
no
they
choice.
Ruin everything.
They got a choice but to open up their mind when you got organic gardens that used to be at Needle Parks and shit, you know? You like, fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, you like, what the fuck? That's a Whole Foods now? That was a motherfucking crack house.
Yeah, Whole Foods. Do you like Whole Foods? You fuck with Whole Foods?
I'm more of a Trader Joe.
I'm a Trader's Joe too.
I'm H-E-B all the way though. That's
me too.
Number
that's
one.
My
that's
jam, dude. I love H-E-B.
That's what
H-E-B.
I told him. I just died because you know.
Shit's
I mean,
so good.
I'm not the best. I mean, I'm been learning how to get my grill on since my girl got me a grill. But like, we ain't the best chefs in the house. But the H-E-B pre-made meals
so
have
good.
Been life changing, man. Especially like trying to eat healthy too. Because I mean, you know, eating healthy might be hard when you make it yourself.
Yeah.
I've noticed that. It's not like a cool thing.
It is a cool thing. So hold on. So 21 or 20, you have a kid.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But were you panicked? Were you just like, fuck, dude?
No. See, what happened was my high school sweetheart, my high school girlfriend, we was together starting like 10th grade all the way till we graduated.
Aww.
Once we graduated, that's when I was like selling dope and becoming like this in the street ass gangster nigga and shit. So we kind of like split up during that time. So then... But in the mix of that, I'm saying I had to say this before that. When we was like in the 10th grade, she got pregnant when we was 16.
Wow.
So we was that, you remember that high school couple walking up the hallway with a big ass belly and a nigga. They just looking dumb. You're like, look at this. They are just fail. They just fucked their life up. Every teacher looking at you, shaking their head like, oh, look at this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
So that was us.
That was you, yeah.
That was the dumbest shit. But she ended up having a miscarriage at 9 months.
What?
The worst shit ever. She was literally about to have a baby like in a week, a few. But it was like the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck, that kind of shit. So it was a full baby or whatever the fuck. So I went through that.
My God.
I went through that. Danny. So that's the same. So we was together all the time during high school until we continued graduation. So we split up. And then when we split up, she got another boyfriend. And then, you know, she got pregnant. But when she got pregnant, that boyfriend killed somebody and went to jail for murder. So now she's pregnant with this baby and I was jealous that she got the baby. Now,
of course.
So then we got back together, and then she had the baby. So the baby don't never, you know, she know me after this. She don't know me, but she know this story. She hates when I tell this to people, but it's such a, you know, let people know me a lot more kind of when I do.
Yeah. No, I think that's really amazing that you stepped up because there's not a lot of great
she's
men
amazing.
Out there.
Like, she's amazing. Like, and I don't feel like, you know, I don't feel like she would be who she is if I wasn't in her life.
Of course, you know? Not. And in all truth, I feel like you were meant to have a child with this woman. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like that was meant to be.
Yeah, maybe that's the way, you know. I mean, so at the end of the day, I feel like that's my daughter. She's my best friend, to be honest. Like, every time I'm with her, we hang out. She was just out here. She ain't want to leave.
Aww.
She was out here for like a few weeks. But then she texts me. She's like, I want to go to Rolling Loud with you. I'm like, fuck. You're not going to Rolling Loud with me, man. Like, I'm not the guy walking backstage with my daughter at concerts and shows and shit. I'm not being that guy. I'm not doing that.
So you have a baby, you're 20 years old, and does that change you? I mean, do you feel a sense of urgency then?
I was selling drugs and shit. So, yeah. I mean, at the end of the, it didn't really, like, you know, kick in. But then we moved together. She had ended up getting an apartment, and we moved in together. And from moving in together, I think, I don't know, shit just was going bad for me. And it all went bad. And then so I actually seen what it was like to be like fucked up and you got to take care of like a family in the house. So I've seen what was going on. So yeah, I've started selling like drugs again or whatever. And then that's when I started going, my music started to take off. Wow. Like, and I would start to go to New York. And I would go to New York back and forth and go to New York and stuff. But it didn't really happen and I went to jail. And when I went to jail, obviously she gonna fucking leave my ass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but that was the worst shit because when I got out, it was so hard getting back in touch, finding her. Yeah. But I did, and it was tight. And we've been back cool ever since.
So she forgave you, or you guys, have you talked about it with her? Like, did she visit you when you were in jail?
Who, the moms?
Both, I mom mean, and daughter.
Nah. I mean, she wrote
like,
me a few.
Fuck you. Yeah.
I mean, she had got a new boyfriend. So
okay,
she was
so
in a whole new relationship. Yeah.
And your daughter, did she?
She still knew, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Me, I still wanted to see, but I just wasn't in her life, for at least by, like, I want to say, three, until I was able to come back, like, I made it. Like, it was one of those things. Like, I knew I was going to be able to, like, I'm going to come back. Like, so it's like, she was out of my life for like 3-4 years. Like I said,
that's got to be so.
Yeah, it sucked.
Tough. Yeah.
It sucked because then it was like, man, you
suck.
I felt bad because, like, I couldn't blame nobody but myself. Like, I put myself in that position. I didn't have to.
Well, you were a kid. You were learning. I mean,
but I was hurting. I was hurting and I was looking for, I don't know. I was looking for love too.
Yeah.
In that sense, you know, because that baby shit did fuck me up.
Oh,
at 16, you didn't. But my dad, shit, my dad used to be, obviously my dad. He's like, that's the best shit ever happened to me. I'm telling you.
What a dick. What a fucking dick. He's like, good job. I'm so happy that happened.
I remember in the bed just feeling sad and then crying and shit. My dad came and like, I'm telling you. Yeah. The best shit ever happened to you. Because if we did have that baby, I for sure believe I wouldn't have been a rapper. Definitely probably would have been in the streets. I would have had to take care of them like extra. I wouldn't have followed my dream at that point. That dream would have been crushed too early.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like I still always had a sense of like a urgency to want to do that shit. But I feel like if I'd had a baby by 16, by the time I was 20, I'd already been like,
you'd be working at FedEx. Yeah. For sure. You'd be taking that job. You'd be the regional manager. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but when you want to be a rapper, that's, you know,
I used to try to do odd jobs. I never was good at it. I got a job at it was like you can get temp service, and they gave me a job at like Technicolor.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Technicolor.
And I used to have to put, I remember it was Milan. That's when the Milan VHSs first came out, and they came with a free whistle. So I would have to put the free whistle into the package that's coming down the line. But I was broke as fuck.
I had
$10 to my name, and one of the motherfuckers at the job was selling weed. My $10 was supposed to be for lunch. And you know me, I'm a way to options, like weed or lunch. I was like, fuck it, man. I'm fasting anyway. So I got the weed, and this ended up being some fire. So I smoked the weed on my lunch break. I come back to the line. I'm doing the motherfucking whistles and shit. I'm getting woozy. I'm dizzy. It's hot in there. I'm sweating. Ain't no water. I can't leave. I just faint on the line. Blue.
Oh my God.
They fired me on the spot. I ain't had a job since.
That was your last day job?
My last job.
Your last job.
I swear to God.
That's
I was
so
just
funny.
Like, I'm not good at this shit. I'm not built for this.
No.
Like, even like any type of, I've always been good with like making music, and I think it fucked me up with like sports or anything that has to do with like manual labor.
Yeah.
Like, I can't move shit. You asked me to pick up some heavy shit. It's a wrap.
I'm
like,
terrible.
Help me do this, do that.
It's a wrap.
Right now, I got to clean my garage. I don't know how this is going to work out. Like, I don't really. I'm used to paying crackheads and shit. There ain't no crackheads around. I mean, I'm pretty sure I can go find some motherfuckers in Austin, but you can't trust them niggas.
No, you can't. What a tragedy, though. I can't even imagine, like, you're losing your baby and the baby. Like, that's so traumatic.
No, it was fucked up because
so
we had to be there. We actually saw the, like, fool. Like, that actually looked like you. You know what I'm saying?
It was fucked up.
It was fucked up.
It is fucked
but,
up.
But, like, I gotta say, my dad might have been right. You know what I'm saying? When I think about it, my life might have turned out a lot better.
But he's right. So, because
I can totally believe that if we had the baby at 16, we would have had another one by 18.
Yeah, easily.
We would have had one. You had about two. I was going down the same path.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And nah.
But it's kind of crazy though when you think about like that tragedy, which was a tragedy, is probably what led you to like. You know what I mean? Like, it fucks you up. You're traumatized.
I definitely changed after that. That's when I did become the person that always wanted to be alone and shit like that. I did become, because I always was a goofy, silly kid. But I think I would only let my, my funny shit around people that I cared about or trusted.
Yeah.
Before then, I didn't give a fuck. I was the type of person that would jump in the fucking garbage can at the mall just for some laughs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But now, I was like, I wouldn't be like, I was very quiet. I remember a point in time, like, we used to go to New York and, like, try to, you know, mingle and, like, get our shop demos and shit like that. And my best friend's like, man, Danny, you never gonna make it as a rapper if you don't talk. And this is me talking about if you don't talk. I didn't start back talking until I went to jail.
Wow.
So my whole, like, I would like crack jokes with my friends, but if you didn't, but then also I had fucked up teeth.
Oh yeah, I remember
so
that.
So that's what does something to you
it
too.
It does.
Because you don't smile.
It's,
you know,
true.
You don't really want to talk to people like that. Because there's been so many times where I like see a girl and I might say something to her, I can see her whole reaction change. Like, she'd be looking at me with my mouth closed like, smiling and shit. As soon as I talk, like, oh shit, nigga, what happened?
It's so true, because I have a thing with my teeth too, because I cracked one when I was little, right? This one. And I was always embarrassed because I had a big space between them and they were always jacked up. And so, like, I'm really protective of my teeth now, like veneers, I whiten them, I'm always at the dentist, because it's such a thing when you have that young.
Mm-hmm. It fucks yourself
up. It fucks you. Yeah, and you true, you don't smile.
No, you just...
You literally don't smile, when your teeth are
and
jacked.
And that has to do something for you. Like, you only, I remember a point in time I used to laugh and cover my mouth.
Same. Like, yeah.
Imagine that. So, yeah, that definitely had to play a role into who I am as an adult right now.
Absolutely. I the guy that did my veneers, he goes, you're going to have to learn how to smile differently because the way your teeth are shaped now. Like, you'll see that you looked at, and I was like, wow, I didn't even think about that. Like, you do. Your emotions are connected to smiling. And if you shut that down for years or you stifle a laugh or a smile, like, whoa.
That's why it hurt me so bad. Like, when I did become, like, cracking in music and shit, and, like, everybody want to, like, do photo shoots or interviews and shit like that with me, they were they always be like, man, take pictures. They be like, let's see the teeth. Let's see the teeth. I'm like, this is the last shit I want to fucking show you. My shit's fucked up. So I would always like, that's why I always just stick my tongue out and shit.
Yeah.
And just make that dumbass face. So, yeah, it got to a point. Now I got my teeth fixed. I'm smiling every
picture. Your
teeth
are great. Look at those chompers on Danny Brown. You have the best teeth
it's
in rap.
It's fucked up because I got to go home. No, motherfuckers got
your
some shit.
Your teeth are
now.
Really good.
Everybody got some shit. Now. But that's the point. I think what I wanted to do, I made it a point where my dentist like, please just make them look natural as possible.
That's what I said.
I don't want my shit. Like, even if he's like, I got to do a little yellow tint. I'm like, cool with that, man. Like, yeah. I don't want my shit looking like, you know, like 50 Cent when he first had his.
Let's look at 50 Cent. No, I think my worst is the Steve Harveys. He's got those big billboards. Those fucking Steve Harveys.
Steve Harvey is fire, man.
Yeah.
His fashion
he's
art.
So successful. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got big chompers. Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah.
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 It was real funny.
Too much.
It
yeah.
was real funny.
Yeah, I kind of like him before.
With the gap. It
kind
looks
of.
More natural.
Yeah, he looks cuter, like boyish.
But yeah, that used to be a weird thing for me when girls used to be like, I like your when I got my teeth fixed. They'd be like, I liked you better when your teeth was fucked up.
Because your teeth was like broken.
I'm like, you a weirdo. You just want to, because you don't want nobody else to like me.
Oh, yeah, they want to keep you for
they
themselves.
They like, I just think you're cute for myself. That's why I used to do fucks up shit to my hair and shit like that.
Yeah.
Then it kind of eliminates a crop of bitches that I know just wasting my time. For real. So, like, I think girls do that, too. Like, girls that make themselves, like, girls with, like, big-ass booties and shit.
Yeah.
They wear shit that hides it, and you don't know. But then there's certain guys like me that got, like, the creepy perv. I was like, I know she got a fat ass. Like, she trying to hide it with that moo-moo on. That moo-moo ain't stopping shit. I see it shaking. But it's eliminating the whole crop of guys that ain't got their minds. Like, they don't see diamonds in the rough, you know?
They don't see diamonds. Well, before we started rolling, what did you say? There's not too many real bitches.
Yes, there's not too many. That's what I was saying. Yeah. I'm definitely at the end's rope. This might be the last one. Yeah, this might be the one I'm tap out with.
Wow.
I know.
So you're 41 now?
Yeah.
Wow. So this is great. This is huge for you.
This should be. I think I'm at the age where I should be thinking about that. You know.
Well, let me tell you. I talked to Gene Simmons. You know, he's the guy from Kiss. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy is known for being the world's cocksman. Like, mm-hmm. he's banged his way through life. And I asked him, I was like, what have you learned? Like, what's the thing? And he's like, well, I basically now I love my wife and my kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's only so much pussy. It's like, how much can you do? Do you know what I mean? There's a point where you got to grow the fuck up.
Yeah, but I think mine was always coming from a place of trauma. I was trying to fuck the pain away.
Fuck the pain away. That's a great song. Fuck. Sucking on my titties. Sucking on me. She's touring again.
Yeah,
Peaches
no,
is
Peaches.
Back.
Yeah, I just seen her. I follow her
you
on
saw
Instagram.
Her?
I mean, no, I see her on Instagram. She always at her
Let's
show
go
now.
See her.
If she come to Austin, I'm definitely down.
I would
fuck
love
that
to see Peaches. She's amazing.
Dog. But
now,
yeah,
Peaches
so, yeah.
was a teacher, by the way, a school teacher. Yeah, in Canada, I believe.
I didn't know that.
Fuck the pain away.
And that was dope. That song blew up from a live version.
From what?
A live version. Like she performed it on a TV show. I mean, that version is the one that we listen to now. That blow up is not like an actual recorded studio version.
That's wonderful.
That's so dope.
So you were fucking the pain away. Yeah, I believe
that.
Yeah,
so now, yeah, I'm happy with my cousin. Now, I guess what happens is you start, you realize it's only downhill from here. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's only going to meet so many women that really going to love, like, really, you know, that's really going to fuck with you like that. I'm getting at that age, man. I can't do it no more. Because after this, what? I'm going to be fucking with 20-year-old bitches and shit?
No. Can you imagine? Could you even fucking imagine, dude?
It sucks.
I can't do that either.
It sucks. I mean, especially if you're trying to hang out with a bitch, you start doing a TikTok dance in front of you, like, you're going to be like, what the fuck is going on? That's the real true story. One of my homies told me, like, he messing with the bitch. You know, they was hung around the hotel room. You know, he in the bed going to sleep. She's still up. She in the other room making TikTok videos and shit. Like, you fuck this whole world up. Like, I can't fuck with these young bitches no more, man. I'm like, nigga, that would have fucked me up too, man. Bitch was in the other room making TikToks like 2 in the morning. Like, what the fuck is going on with you? Take your ass to bed.
But this is why I love you. And I've read about you, like I've Googled you, and I did a deep dive on you, but I didn't want to know too much about your personal life because I wanted you to tell me your history. And
you know you're going to get it, Mom. I love it. You know you can get it out of motherfuckers.
You.
That's what that is. God damn it. You knew you was going to get that shit.
I love you.
Because I don't think I ever told anybody about that. About I had a miscarriage when I was 16. I don't think I ever told anybody about that. But I guess, you know, when certain shit that you went through that was so fucked up, you kind of put it in the back of your brain and it's like an avoid. You never think about that shit again. Because I never think about it. Like, because that's the thing, too. Her name was Ariana. We already named her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy, too, because she was born January 23rd. And then the other one, her name is Ariana. We named her Ariana. And she was born January 5th.
Wow. So wow.
And it's fucking, they would have been sisters, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So it's like, what the fuck, man?
It's
so
terrible.
She's like my Jesus, I guess.
Yeah.
I love her though.
Of course.
She's into like now she's getting she's just into like the whole like I guess being the woke culture.
Oh no.
Like, I think TikTok got her.
Oh,
she might
no.
be on a conspiracy theory woke Shea
oh,
butter.
No. You got to bring her over to the other side, to the Gen X side.
She wants to go backpacking in Australia.
Okay, that's fine.
That's what I said. That might flip the script.
I think, you know what? I think you're right. I think you're right. Oh, actually, go. Why don't you go for a backpack in Russia or China, somewhere rough. Go see where the rest of the world is, the unwoke world.
Because I knew she
world.
Was tripping.
The world is tough.
She was at my crib for 4th of July. We was barbecuing, doing fireworks, having a great American time. And I seen her on her phone and she said, I'm more of a Juneteenth kind of girl. She was texting one of her friends like, fuck America.
Okay.
Fuck this shit.
Well, you know, fuck.
I was like, damn.
I get it.
Where did this black power come from?
But she's not wrong. Like, that's the other thing is you, like, she's
yeah,
not
she's
wrong.
Not.
You're like,
goddammit, eat a hot dog, man.
That's how I feel. Have a Coke and a smile.
Eat a hot dog. It's the one day you can eat a hot dog and don't feel bad about it. Eat a motherfucking hot dog. A motherfucking a bomb pop or something, man. Like, it's, come on, man. Don't ruin my 4th of July. I just now learned how to cook ribs. You think this is my day. This is my time. I can't wait for the next one. I'm practicing right now for the next 4th of July.
I know. I feel that way, too. I know how oppressed women are. But I kind of don't give a shit. And I got to tell you, like, it's been a fun ride. I've had fucked up shit said to me over the last 20 years. I've been excluded from lots of whatever. But I don't give a fuck. I'm here to have fun. I'm going to drop dead. We're all going to die. I'm not going to get hung up on shit. I can't. There's no time. There's no time.
Fuck that shit.
And what I love about you and your story, and for anybody listening to, because I think it's so valuable, is like having that horrible experience in high school. And you think to yourself, like, my life is over. Like, there's so many people out there that have horrible shit happen to them. Like, it's just what happens. Mm-hmm. Life is terrible. Life mm-hmm. is fucking unfair and terrible. But I think the ability to transform it into something better is the secret.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or you just be a fucking crybaby bitch and suck
your
thumb.
I mean, I was a crybaby bitch for a long time. I ain't gonna lie. I really was a crybaby bitch. But I remember my dad, it would always ring in my head, like, I don't know what you talking about.
What did you hear?
Saved your life.
You heard your dad saved your life. Yeah.
Like, and I don't doubt that. I would believe we probably would have had about 3 kids, young as fuck.
Yeah.
And I would be going, and I definitely wouldn't be a rapper right now.
No.
I probably would be in jail. I more so would have. I would have went to jail.
Yeah.
I definitely would have went to jail because I would have been in the streets, and all my peers that was in the streets around it, all them niggas locked up, are dead.
Really?
All of them. It's not one success story.
That's horrible.
No.
It's not like stripping where you get out of it one day.
It's not one. I
you
am
do
a,
it for a minute.
I
and
am
then
a success story,
on.
But
you're
like
the only
I say,
one. Yeah.
I was the bullshitter. I was the one I dance 1 week, I don't come back for 2 weeks, come back again. I was bullshitting. I wasn't really committed to the arts.
Yeah, you were.
Really the truth. I really was.
Now, let's talk about crack for a minute. So you get the rocks from your source.
No, you gotta
How does
buy
it work?
You make it from coke. You gotta get the coke first.
You make the crack? The dealer makes the crack?
Yeah, but that's what it is. It's another guy that you can go to that's really good at it. See, everybody has their guy that they go cook their shit up. And you know that there's certain guys that could cook it up and bring back more than what
more
you
product.
Yeah,
so they add stuff
so
to
they
it.
They add stuff to it and they can bring it back and it still Dang. Be good. And then you can get your shit cooked by somebody else and it's all fucked up and isn't that. And it's mostly what it is always a cool guy that, you know, used to do it back in the day, went to the penitentiary. He ain't fucking around with shit no more. And it's literally all he do. You can go to his house, he cooking up everybody's shit. Everybody
Jesus.
Coming to him, that's his job. Or you can try to be on some fun cheap shit and fuck with a crackhead that know how to do it. And it's always gonna go wrong with the crackhead because he a crackhead. He gonna do some dumb shit, try to steal some shit. He gonna try to bring it back more to take the extras type shit. And then as always, but one thing, dude, the crackhead is making it for itself. So he kind of always make it a little more pure.
Right.
For real,
well,
that's the
it
truth.
Makes sense. It's that kind of like truth. You want a fat
Cause
chef.
Because
yeah.
the guy you go to that's making it, he's just trying to bring back as much as possible yes. for you to come back and fuck with him because he see you bring him back. So he don't really care about the quality like
no.
that.
No. That's where you have like a master chef making
that's what it is.
Your
that's
crack.
What it is. That's why I always talk about whipping in the kitchen. I'm at the stove. That's why that was always a thing. Like, if you got you an ill cook, you was about to make some real money. You know what
now,
I mean?
Now, did you try crack?
Fuck no. I actually sat there and looked at it though before, like, damn, this make people go crazy. I wonder. I think I probably yeah. tried crack, like, not on purpose, like, just from having, like, cutting up crack and shit and smoking blunts and shit like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Your lips will get a little numb. Like, that was weird, but not actually just like putting a crack rock inside of a pipe. Like, fuck no. That's one thing I would never do: crack, meth, or heroin.
Yeah,
everything else.
But crack smells awful. I remember,
awful.
In
and,
the
I, and then when you
it.
See the way people act, like I remember one time, one crackhead bitch, she hit it, and then she just got butt ass naked and said bugs and shit was crawling all on her, and she's smacking herself, going crazy, like, get the bugs off me. But like, oh shit. So when you see shit like that, you're like, no, nigga, I ain't doing that shit.
No way, right? So no,
I mean, I'm not doing crocodile. I'm not doing K2. I'm not doing, it's a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I'm not doing no fucking, what's the other shit? Salvia.
Salvia. I heard that makes you crazy as shit too. I know. Red Band was in
I've
talking
just seen
about
a
that
couple years. Videos on YouTube. Yeah. I'm like, man, nah,
horrible.
I'm cool on that. I'm, right now, I'm just all about like, the psychedelics and yeah. MDMA.
Oh, that's oh, it. Okay. Psychedelics. What do you hold on? Back to crack though. How long? Because I'm so fascinated because I remember in the 90s when I would go to goth clubs downtown in downtown LA, mm-hmm. you would see people smoking crack yeah. and the smell was
it's
just
horrible.
Terrible.
It's the worst.
And I remember hearing like, oh, the high only lasts for 5 minutes. Yeah. So what the fuck? Who cares? What
it's
are
like
you
a
doing?
Blast. That's what they call it. It's a blast. See what yeah. it is? They say in the first time you do it is the best time. So,
yeah. That's always how it is, though.
Every time you do it after that, you're chasing that. It's yeah. never going to be that good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they actually lose their whole fucking souls. That's what that is.
Fuck.
And that's fucked up because who knew? Just cocaine and baking soda could turn into some yeah. whole other shit. You could do the coke and be all right, but if you just put a little yeah. piece of baking soda in it,
that's the
your
thing.
Your whole existence will
just
go
gone.
Away. Just gone.
Because cocaine is like you're invincible. You're top
yeah,
of the world.
Yeah, you're great. You're talking shit yeah. like whatever. I'm the man now. Yeah. You know, so you feeling good.
You're the
so.
Wolf of Wall Street, but you just smoke it, and that blows my mind.
But see, now everything is all fucked up because fentanyl.
Yes, yeah, so that's what I hear.
So whatever you do, fentanyl's in it. So it's all
Why
bad.
Is that? What's going
on?
I
mean, because it's the most addictive substance it is. But oh. it's to the point, I think somebody got a good batch. They starting to whip it up because yeah. motherfuckers want fentanyl now. They ain't even scared of it no more. Like,
really?
Be like, you get a little pinch of that shit, you just fucking die. Now, I mean, it's the same shit, but motherfuckers, they want fentanyl now.
That's crazy talk.
M30s and perks and shit.
That's crazy.
Like, all the Percocets is pretty much fentanyl. All the Xanax is fentanyl. All the fucking... If you buying any
on the street.
Pills on the street, yeah. If you're yeah, not getting it directly from a doctor, it's a wrap. It's
I
a wrap.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't take a pill off the street, Jesus.
Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
I'll give you a phone number with a psychiatrist. What do you do? You've got generalized anxiety disorder.
Hard to have
what are you doing?
Doctor friends in the hood.
Yeah.
They all go to jail.
You got insurance now? Come on, let me hook
yeah,
you
this
up.
Is true. This
you got to
true.
Do it like the fancy white
I've never
lady
tried
way.
It. I've never tried it. I just always think they're going to go in
there. Xanax?
What?
Oh,
I'm,
you never
I'm
tried
I never tried going to a doctor to get pills.
No.
I used to go to a doctor to get lean.
Get lean?
Yeah, but oh,
I
want to
do this.
Table.
I want to do this.
But that was under the table. Would you want to drink lean?
Wait, what do you mean? That makes you skinny, right? Is that what you mean?
No!
Oh. What's lean?
Syrup.
Oh, syrup.
Cough syrup.
Oh, yeah, that was big in the rap community.
It's still big
it.
Right now. It's the
really?
Biggest. Yes, it's the most expensive thing you can possibly do. That's why I don't fuck with it no more. It costs too much.
So what's in it, like codeine?
Codeine and promethazine. Yeah. It literally costs, right now, I think, I might be wrong, it might be like 500 a line.
What?
Yeah, so like every line, every ounce in the, when you buy when you get a pint, a lean, in 16 lines, so it's
Jesus.
Like 3,200, I think, a pint, something like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like drug prices for that, and it goes so quick. I mean, it is amazing. It is one of
yeah.
the best drugs ever. That's the only drug that I ever was fucked up on. Like
codeine.
It really, yeah, it really would have me gone.
Yeah, when I broke my ankle, I started taking the Moxies, and boy, was that fun. I think I literally, the first time I took it, I was like, this is how I've meant to feel. This is everything. And I told Dr. Drew that, mm-hmm. and he's like, you need to throw those away.
Yeah, Oxies are the worst, though.
You know.
I know they're most like, I mean, it's pretty much like the fentanyl shit.
I know, I like those.
Because a lot of people started being on the Oxies, then they can't get the Oxies no more, then they go to fentanyl.
Well, I had really a fentanyl patch when I broke my ankle, it was
now,
sweet.
That sounds great.
Yeah, the patch
that
was
sounds great.
Pretty amazing.
That was no pain.
No pain, no feelings. It literally was like, what broke an ankle? I'm in an ambulance, like, huh?
That just sounds like I bet you that's some rich white lady shit now. Fentanyl
is.
Patch and a wine. Like, give me, throw her a patch on that night with a glass of wine. Like, being that bitch woozy to the motherfucker. Like, fuck you, Fred.
Yeah.
Come watch the kids.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what? Damn.
Yeah, rich white fancy moms do pills.
Yeah, of course.
You get pills from your
shrink. Yeah. They love those Ambiens and shit like
they
that.
Do. They do. I tried taking one. It made me restless.
I just want to do the sleepwalking thing.
What?
Yeah.
You sleepwalk on
it? Yes, they say you could take Ambien and it makes you sleepwalk and like do shit. And
that's
people like
waking
up. Yeah, I just want to do that. That's the only reason why I want to take Ambien.
So tell me, what psychedelics are you doing?
Mushrooms. I was doing mushrooms all the time. I had to stop now.
Why?
Because they stopped working. And then it was making my stomach hurt because I was eating too much.
Yeah.
So I've been chilling. I think I'm going to take some today because the homies is here.
Oh, your homies are here.
Yeah. My Bruce Brigade homies from Detroit.
No shit. Cooling.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So. You guys are going to have fun.
Well, yeah, because like, my girl's in Mexico, so like, might as well have the homies come through. We can make some music, you know? I'm at the crib by myself. Yeah. I forgot I did it. I literally called him today just to see what's up. He's like, nigga, we at the airport. We be there. I'm like, damn. I thought y'all was coming on the 4th or something. And they're like, nah, these the 1st. But that's what happened when you on FaceTime talking to niggas. Nobody understand each other. He probably did say the 1st. I heard the 4th. So these niggas is here now.
I love you. I think you're just the best, Danny.
So at least that's cool. I get to, because I was a little depressed the last few days. I was just ashamed of myself.
Why?
For playing so bad at those shows.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. It's that performance shame where you're like, yeah, like I'm the worst. I'm just gonna give up.
Like I could have did it. I could have fucking
pulled through.
Like why did I fucking, you know, my ego or something like?
Why didn't you like
switch it up in
the moment? I kind of
set it up. I think I jinxed myself because on my show we always talk about how rappers like to get off work early. So any given thing that happened, they'd be like, I'm out of here. I'm off stage.
Yeah.
Somebody throw a bottle at him or something like that. So the kid that was playing after me, like I said, he got fucking 8 million views on all his videos, shit like that. And I was like, how many of y'all ready to see Artie? And across the gonna be like, Artie, Artie, Artie. I was like, yeah, that's my cue to get up out of here. And I just walked up.
Oh, so you finished her.
And I bounced. I probably did like 15 minutes. But the festival was like, no, you fuck that. I was like, I just told my DJ just finished it. He just DJed songs, which they enjoyed way better than my ass. So that was cool.
Did you get paid?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I got to get paid. We finished the set.
Then you did fine.
Yeah, my manager was pretty pissed. I'm sorry, Dart, but he was pissed off.
But sometimes it's not your crowd. I mean.
Yeah, that's what it was. It's what we signed up for, and sometimes you just got to bite the bullet for 45 minutes.
I know. I had this great Mitch Vaitel, this great comedian. When he was bombing, he had like a stopwatch. When he knew the gig was going to be a bad, shitty gig, he would put a stopwatch in his pocket. And every time he would get the flop sweat, you know, when you're bombing, he would just pat his pocket. Like, I just know the time. It's just time. It's just doing time.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of smart. You know? Damn, like, that's deep.
Fuck,
I know. Fuck.
It's just time.
God damn it.
It's just time. But you know what? Sometimes I've seen comics just give up too. Like some nights you're just like, you know what? I'm done. I'm cooked. Fuck this shit. I'm out. You're not a robot. You're a human.
Yeah, exactly.
It's normal. It's to be expected. And they're not your fucking crowd. They want fucking Artie, whoever the
Artie,
fuck that
dog.
Is.
Show a picture of him. Let's see what
Artie.
You got to see what this kid look like. It's A-R-D-E-E. Look, Artie the rapper.
God damn it, Artie. Oh, this kid? he barely is in puberty.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Look, he's all badass too. God damn it, Artie.
You can't compete with this, man.
So cool. Artie's cooler than all of us.
Yes, he's cool as fuck. That's the thing. He was actually nice as fuck. He was humble. He wasn't like, you know how some of these kids is. Like, I'm extra cool and all that. He wasn't even like that. He's like, nigga,
I'm chilling. He's smoking a blunt.
I fucks with him.
Yeah.
I fucks with him.
He's all British and he probably has a cool accent and la la la.
Yeah.
Fucking ass.
And they got cool dance moves and shit.
Oh, Artie.
Yeah, Artie. Well, I'm getting too old. That's made me like, oh, I'm old.
Yeah. Well, fuck Artie. Okay. Can we do so? Do you have any follow-up voicemails for Danny to chime in on? And then we'll wrap it up.
Sure,
let you go play with your homies.
I know, right?
That's exciting.
They're retarded.
I bet you feel you're going to be happy seeing them. It'll bring you out of your funk to see
I mean,
they're
about to help me clean the garage. I know that.
Hey.
They don't know about that part. I'm like, shit, I got some manpower. Fuck that. All these Amazon boxes been collecting for 6 months.
Oh my gosh.
We about to be breaking down boxes. I need to get some box cutters.
That shit smells too. Rats will get into it. Be careful.
I know.
right. You got a voicemail?
Hey, Mommy, this is Ryan from Pennsylvania. I was calling because I'm listening to episode 155, and you and Native are talking about how Asians love really small stuff. And I had to rewind and listen to the way that you guys say the word miniature.
Oh.
And you say miniature.
Yeah.
I know it's spelled that way, but the A is silent. You don't say miniature.
Stop
miniature.
It, Danny.
Am I a fucking idiot? Am I TikTok? Or is it you guys? Please help.
It's definitely us.
Yeah,
all
I
right,
would
love
say
you
that.
Guys. I'm coming up in May. Hey, Christina.
Miniature. It's not miniature.
I mean, I say a lot of words fucked up.
So
though.
Do I. I'm retarded.
But I say miniature.
Miniature. Guys.
Miniature.
I say miniature like a fucking idiot.
It's not A in it, though.
Yes, it did. Hold on. M-I-N-I-A-T-U-R-E. Miniature.
Really?
Look it up.
It's A in it.
That's definitely how it's spelled.
I got out in the spelling B off bald, so.
I wasn't. What word?
Bald.
B-A-L-D.
But I thought he said bald. B-A-L-L.
You misheard it.
Yeah, I'm like, you fucked me up. You cheating.
He fucked you up.
Y'all cheating, man. Because I won the first year.
Yeah.
This is my comeback. They didn't want me to repeat. They didn't want me to back-to-back.
You were a good speller. Well, you're a language guy. You're a words guy. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I was. I won the fourth grade spelling bee.
You did.
But I was trying to repeat for the fifth.
Yeah. And you fucked your shit up.
You got me out on bald.
Liar.
But but that was I supposed to have been a professional. I supposed to ask for a definition. I supposed to did all that shit.
Could you please give it the word in a sentence?
Yeah, I was supposed to use it in a sentence. I was supposed to did all that, man.
You didn't do it. Bring back miniature.
I had too much confidence.
You got cocky.
Right,
okay.
It's miniature. But being from Michigan, our way we pronounce a lot of words, we always cutting shit out.
I know.
So,
Damn,
that's kind of fucked me up. So it's miniature.
Well, hold on. Play the audio, the computer lady.
Miniature.
Miniature.
Again.
Miniature.
Miniature.
And also, he said that the A is silent.
That's
miniature.
What he said. That's, miniature.
That's not true. It's that the I is silent. I don't know why he said the A is silent. If the A was silent,
so
it'd be
miniature.
Or some weird shit.
So why was saying it right?
Miniature.
Yeah.
You said it wrong.
Miniature. Miniature.
You spelling it all out.
No, he's saying the A is silent. It is. Because it's M-I-N and then the E with the
miniature.
Letter. Miniature.
Miniature.
Chat, smart chat, are you in there?
No, the I is silent.
Yeah, the I is silent, because I say miniature.
The A is silent.
I'm using the A.
It's either the A is silent or it's a soft I.
Miniature.
Miniature.
Stupid.
Miniature.
Miniature.
I'm just trying to figure it out, like miniature. I'm trying to see if I could use it
miniature.
In a rap. Like it would.
Because
it's miniature.
Miniature.
Plenty of her.
Ooh, miniature, plenty of her. I love how you think. I love
those trips because I love to do triple words to rhyme to one word.
That's
because then
cool.
Because most people use like with raps. Most people think like you just rhyming cat, hat, bat. Like, but
no.
You can take one word and you can use that. I call it triple compounds.
It's awesome, dude.
Yeah, that's professional.
Isn't
shit.
That fun? We both play with language.
It's a lot harder the way y'all do it.
I think you're smarter.
Because y'all on stage without a mic. I mean, we can hide behind the music. We just dance around. If the beat's good, everybody else having a good time too. You can have just a good beat and not bomb. If you on stage, then if they ain't feeling it, they ain't feeling it. There's nothing you can do.
That's true, yeah.
Nothing you can do.
But I think
I can do a stage dive, jump on top of a speaker, do some dance. They like, yeah, he was going crazy. It was great. He performed so great.
But music, my God.
Fuck up every lyric. They don't care. They don't even hear it half the time. You just be all that motherfucker just making sounds like, yeah, what's up? For real, comedy? No.
Well, we have tricks too. There's parlor tricks that you learn as a comedian. There's definitely, we have parlor tricks too. You just don't know them. You don't know that they're tricks.
I know. I mean, that's what I say. That's why I give it props. That's why, like even like I said, I was going out with Hannibal and doing stuff like that. I was like, you know what? Why would I put myself through this again? You know what I'm saying? I've done it with rap music before. I've subjected myself to all this horror and terrors of being on stage bombing. Like, why would I do this for a second? This shit gonna give me a heart attack. I'm getting too old for this, man.
I love Hannibal. He's great.
That's my boy. That's my boy. He rapping now. He killing it.
Good.
Yeah, I know. Getting better and better. So that's dope.
He's so funny.
Because that's hard to do too. Because I know, like, I can't do this comedy shit. I don't care how much funny y'all motherfuckers tell me I am. I just keep it on, podcasts and interviews and shit like that. But
it's hard. It is harder. It's just another skill. You'd have to spend another 10,000 hours.
That's what I'm saying. I ain't got time for that.
No, you don't have time. It's
I wouldn't be good till I was 50.
I know. It's terrible, honestly. Hannibal Buress.
I did a show with him in Amsterdam, like in 2000, I don't know, 7 or 8 or something like that. And we were in fucking Amsterdam. So these people speak English as a second language. Mm-hmm. So it's tougher to do comedy there. And I'll never forget, Hannibal went up before me and murdered. I mean, like, just slayed in this room of people that didn't really speak English. And I was like, that's talent. Like, this guy is so funny. And of course, I went up after him and, like, you know, did not do as well. But, and I was like, holy shit, Hannibal's really funny. You know, I just want to see that in a different language.
That's like, what I'm telling him. Christ. Like, he's brave because he like, fuck it, I'm going to go for the rap shit. I'm like, so
good for him.
Yeah, so say, you brave because I can't do it. You stronger than me. Yeah. We ain't trading places. I give up.
Gosh. Okay. Well, let's do another voicemail and then we'll yeah.
Hi, mommy. My name is Mariah. I'm calling from British Columbia, Canada. And I just had a follow-up. I was listening to episode 151 where the Booth Boys were talking about throwing away their jizz socks after they're done with them.
Okay.
And my question to them is, are you throwing away your bed sheets? Because you can't tell me that you don't get a little bit of jizz on your bed sheets. So let me know. Wandering minds want to know. What are you doing with your bed sheets? Because you guys seem to be against just washing your socks and reusing them again. So I need to know what's happening with the sheets.
It's different fabrics.
Yeah.
Them socks getting crunchy.
Yeah.
You got to do something. You got to remove it that quick. So I already know how that goes.
I feel like if it gets on the sheet, you're not using the sheet to wipe the whole load. I think like you're wiping the whole load and the sock. You don't want to put that in the washing machine and then you just got jizz all in your clothes. Right? Am I correct me if I'm wrong here? But usually the jizz that ends up on the sheet is like periphery jizz. It's not primary.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I make sure there's no jizz on my sheets, so I don't know why that's so difficult for her. But you know,
you make sure you don't.
Sounds like she's just a sloppy ass bitch. You know
I mean, yeah, they just going raw dog. That's what that is. They raw dogging.
So you guys don't jizz where you sleep, is what you're saying?
Well, sometimes you do, but you would wipe that off of the sheet. You're not wiping it off of the sock.
You're wiping it in the sheet.
Yeah, mushing it in. Yeah.
You just wiping it into it.
I got a whole system.
What's your system, buddy?
I mean, you know, once I go in, then she wraps her legs and arms around me. We go to the bathroom, and then I let her off, and then, you know, shit just falls on a fucking floor, and that's it.
Damn, you strong.
Yeah. Dude,
I'm too weak for that after a jizz. I just start snoring. After a jizz, it's just snoring like...
Yeah, I got to lay down for like 5 minutes first. But So
now you're doing cuddle sessions and everything. You got this to a science.
I know.
God damn it,
what
man.
A dream. And he's a dream lover.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I mean,
you get a five-minute cuddle, then carry to the bathroom. God damn. I got to step this shit up. Niggas ain't shit out here, man.
I know. God, and he's a tender lover.
I just die where I was at.
Like, yeah. I think most guys do.
I'm mad. Especially drugs. You just fell asleep in the middle, woke up trying to fuck again. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm sorry, man. It was great. It's great. I forgot what I was doing. That's the worst. Fall asleep like, damn, I was fucking.
You falling asleep? I had that happen in college, but usually because of drunk.
That's what I'm
saying. Not me, them.
No, yeah. It's me. Yeah. It's the dude always. Yeah. Like, yeah. Damn, I'll just be asleep. I think it's the rocking, you know, like rocking a baby, you know what I'm saying? So if you drunk and you relax and you just, but you do it, you go nod out. Like, so yeah, I've definitely been that guy.
Yeah, I tried having sex on acid one time. That was horrible because we taken a lot.
I think, I wouldn't be able to even function on acid, but I've tried on mushrooms and it just made me think too much.
Yeah, we couldn't finish.
I just
it
was like,
too
oh my
much.
God, this is wrong. Like, this is premarital sex. I'm putting my penis inside of
really?
Her. We don't even really know each other like this. Like, this is not good.
You really go into like
man, you know, STDs, man. People get AIDS from this. Like, teenage pregnancies. Like, this is really, God didn't intend for this, man.
Did you grow up religious?
My Filipino grandma used to take me to Filipino church. That's what I call it.
Oh, Filipino
church? Because it was just a church full of Filipinos in Detroit.
And what do they practice? Were they Christians?
Like, I think it said Pentecostal.
Oh, so that's hardcore. That's like far Christian.
Yeah, they didn't give a fuck.
They didn't give a fuck. Yeah, wow.
I got kicked out of church because one of the kids tore my Isaiah Thomas basketball card, so I whipped his ass. So my grandma ain't bring me back to church no more. And I missed out because I used to look because they had the best fucking meals after church.
Yeah?
Yeah, you have a whole pig on the table with the apple in his mouth type shit.
What? Every Sunday?
Every Sunday. The shit was crazy. And then, even after that, if you was that and plugged in with other people, like you going to like Deacon Crib or something like that, then it's a whole nother meal there. They doing some other shit. Jeez. I used to be pissed because I used to want to watch In Living Color.
Yeah.
And the Filipinos, they want me to watch In Living Colors at the crib. I'm like, man, put on In Living Color, man. Let me watch The Simpsons. They're like, no, you can't watch that shit. They too.
Let me tell you, that was the best show. The Simpsons block and
In Living Color. Tracy Ullman show. That was, see, it made me. That's what made me.
That made me too. We used to watch In Living Color and then on Monday go to school and then recite all the sketches.
Same, because you felt like a lame if you didn't see it.
Yeah.
And you go, everybody talking about it. Like, oh. And that's what it would have been. That's what it was most of the time for me, because then I'd be with my grandma at her friend's house after church. Church, yeah. And I'm like, they wouldn't let me watch it because they let me watch it one time, and I think they just like, oh, this is crazy. They seen the Fly Girls. They seen the Fly Girls come out shaking ass, and they stopped it right there. Aww. Like, man,
that was such a. I got to open for David Alan Greer.
Yes, he's amazing. Him, Tommy Davis, Dag and all them. He's still funny as fuck.
Yeah, and I remember just being like, can you just say it one time for me? a woman with big breasts. Remember that guy? And he did it for me. I was like, oh man, he is a fucking talent. Like, that cast was so talented.
They couldn't do that show right now. That show would be canceled in two episodes. Like,
no,
the fuck is y'all Men on Films? It'll be over.
It'll
be over with
two snaps up and a Z formation.
It'll be over with Men on Films. Like, we out of here, bro. And it made Jim Carrey, so it's legendary.
And remember the handicapped superhero?
Oh, you're talking about Black Man. He had his own movie. He got his own. He had a spinoff after that.
So good.
And then the homeless dude used to have a pickle jar.
I was just thinking of that. The pickle jar. It was full of his urine.
It had like a it supposed to have been a turd. I think it's supposed to be a little turd in there. Like, you gotta use the bathroom here with that bitch.
Yeah,
that fucked up my childhood.
Me too.
You should be watching that as a teenager.
Oh man,
I had to been like, I guess from like the range of like 11 to 13.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was like cracking.
Oh, okay, yeah, That's what ninth grade for me. 8th and 9th grade was In Living Color.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 10th grade,
so good.
Yeah.
So fucking great.
Yeah. After that, I was like, fuck Kids and Hall. I don't want to see that shit.
I know. They broke it. And the Wayans, too. What a talented family.
I mean,
after,
I can't say I was a fan of all the scary movies and shit like that, but I'm pretty sure it made them shit tons of money. So it did great for them. And you got to think, they weren't even on the show. Them was the little brothers under them.
It's wild, dude.
I know.
Talent.
So, yeah.
Are you going to make your daughter be a rapper?
I think she thought about doing music one point in time, but I don't know. I don't think that's her thing.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know. She's like into, I don't know. I really don't know. Like, what's her career goals? Like, she told me I want to go backpacking in Australia. So I think she's still trying to figure it out and find herself. Which, well, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. These kids got screwed.
I mean, because you're still young and you shouldn't put that much pressure on yourself to even be trying to think about what you want to be at fucking 21 or what you want to do. You know?
I agree. I think it's horrible that they put pressure on like 9th graders, 10th graders.
Because
like,
these motherfuckers are making millions of dollars on TikTok and Twitch and shit. It's like, what the fuck?
I know.
These motherfuckers are becoming the parents.
I know.
I mean, you'll be, I would love it to my son, he's just sit in his room all day and play video games and make millions of dollars and I ain't got to do shit. But it's a sketch, it's a slippery slope because we know it's not going to last for a long time and it's fucking his life up.
That's the thing, I think, and I'm friends with many people that blew up overnight on YouTube or became famous people. It's like, that you don't want to get fame and money and success fast. Mm-hmm. You want it to be 20-year grind, mm-hmm, so that when the time you get there, you don't completely destroy your life and your mind and you're ready. This is not healthy to do. I would never put my children in show business or on YouTube, let alone on Instagram. I don't even put my children's faces on Instagram because I'm like, this is not for, they don't want it. It's not for
TikTok, man. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
I can't believe it. Like, I'm mad. I'm addicted to it. So I know everybody can get addicted to it. And then it just turning your algorithm. So my whole shit is just about how I shouldn't be watching porn all the time and no nut Novembers and how a man should do this and do that. I'm like, what the fuck, man? How do I get in this section of TikTok? What is he trying to tell my life? You need to stop drinking. You work out 3 times a day. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's so funny. Those algorithms are such an indicator of where you are subconsciously.
I just came over to see booty shaking. Like, what the fuck?
I know. It's like, are you depressed?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Are you fat? Yes.
Like, what the fuck is going on, man? Fuck TikTok, man.
Anyway, listen, yeah. I love you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're the best. Danny Brown Show, you guys, YMH Studios. Check him out. He's a legend. He's genius. You're the best.
Thank you so much.
All right. So much. Until next time, stay cool, moms. Bye.
Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.